Father, we do thank you again for your wonderful blessings upon each of our lives. We thank you, Father, for your accomplishments in each one of us. Father, you're awesome. We worship and we praise you and we adore you. You're worthy to be lifted up and praised, for your purposes are being accomplished in this earth. We bless you. Amen. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the changed life. We talked about how that we only can come to God once He calls us, and that we are a spirit being, and how that man somehow wants to bring God down on a natural level, but that can't be. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I was thinking that we've talked a lot about personal relationship with God and how important that is. Man today has a do religion. He wants you to do. Go to church to please God. Read your Bible to please God. But you know, it's not a do, it's a be. Because we're spiritual beings. We are a part of Him. We came out from God. And it's what we be. And in this hour, it's more especially where we are, everybody wants a new revelation, a new word, something we haven't heard before. They're always seeking something new. But you know, the Bible says, "Stand still and know that I am God." When the prophet was on the mountain, the fire, the wind, the earthquake all passed by, and God was not in it. But then there was a still, small voice, and God spoke. That relationship with Him, that personal relationship, we are not looking at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are passing away, but the things that are not seen, those are the things that are eternal. And, you know, yesterday I happened to turn the TV on and I saw the last few minutes of a child's program called The King's New Clothes. I'm sure that everybody's probably heard that and how that... The Emperor's New Clothes, how the guy came in and he showed him the beautiful thread that he had, and everybody agreed it was so beautiful, and he wanted a pair of clothes made, a suit of clothes made out of him, and the guy brought his suit in and everybody was admiring it. The king was, how beautiful it is, and he got on his royal horse and began to ride through his to show his people his new clothes. And finally a child said, "Mother, why does the emperor have no clothes on?" And you know, you can very easily translate that into Christianity today. Somebody says a new word, and if it doesn't ring well, instead of being the odd man out, everybody says, "Oh yes, wasn't that great?" Or prophecy comes forth and, "Wasn't that great?" But you know, it's not what we hear or what we're taught. It's through that relationship with God that we're changed. That as we behold Him, we're changed into the same image. It is not given to the natural man to understand the things of the Spirit. The natural man, throughout the years, has taken that which God has brought about. Every move of God has come, and I've often heard him say, when they get ready to dedicate the building, God always calls out a remnant into a fresh new word. And that's the way it's always been. That every move of God has become stagnant, man-based, and man has injected himself into it, and people have settled down around that one revival or that one move and have never moved on to anything else. Of course, it's God. But that God has had a remnant, a people that He has predestinated, pre-proposed in Himself, that has laid His hand upon them, that has refused to ever settle at one teaching, but have been willing and with teachable hearts to flow on in the Spirit of God. God has brought a people and has removed sin consciousness from them and has caused them to see Him and has refused to eat any longer at the tree of good and evil, but has declared to see only God. The great apostle said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. And in putting it in my own words, that I may attain the out resurrection out from the dead. That I may attain unto the resurrection out from the dead. He counted all things for but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Here was a man that had it all. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew. He was of the law, perfect. He had it all. He had the high standing in the religious system of his day. But he said, I count it all but done for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He prayed for the church in Ephesians that you may know Him, the height and the depth and the breadth. And over again, that we know Him. He said, I am dead, but I live. And the life that I now live, I live in this flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, it is the spiritual realm. He wrestled in Romans 8, the things that I would do, those are the things that I don't do. The things that I do do, the things that I would not do. But then in Romans 8, 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. And I believe in this hour that God has laid His hand upon the people, that He is hastening that day of manifestation, and He is drawing a people out from the norm of just seeking after and longing for and following after some kind of new revelation. We must walk out that we already know and have it fulfilled in our lives, that word in our lives, before we can go on to that which is new. God has many things to open unto us. He has many words of revelation to give us. But it says, Jesus said, I have many things to speak unto you, but I can't do it now. You see, God's people, and we've said this before, God's people that are coming into His Word in this hour and are going to function in that which He is going to be a people that have come to the place for that they take no credit themselves. They have come to the end of themselves and they say, it is God. It is not I, but it is God. It is the I Am. He says, be still and know that I am God. Ceasing from your labors of doing and entering into His rest to abide in Him. It's not what we see. If we're looking on what we see, then we're going to get discouraged because this old flesh is deteriorating day by day. This old body is becoming decrepit. All that we see around us is deteriorating. There's wars, there's rumors of wars. There's lack of morality in this nation of ours. There's lack of leadership in our president and in our Congress. There's lack of godliness anywhere in this nation. It's not what we see in this natural realm. God is revealing to us that we are a spirit people. Jesus said it himself, you're in the world, but that you're not of the world. You're walking in this natural world of flesh and blood, but you're not of what is or participating in what is here. You are his child. You are his people. You are those whose his hand has been laid upon and called out unto himself. You and I are spirit beings that are not doing to please God, but are being to please God. And that his words that he speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life. The psalmist said, as the heart panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. What do I desire? Do I desire to have just a new revelation, and there's nothing wrong with that? Or is my heart's desire is to know him in his fullness? He said, my sheep hear my voice and know it. They know my voice. He whispers his words, hallelujah, in the midst of us, and they become spirit. As we behold him, our longing, our desire is to see the unveiling of God's sons on this earth. But greater than that longing and greater than that desire is to see the fullness of who he is. I mean, you look at God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Think about that one statement. How awesome that statement is. That God created man in his image and his likeness and knew that man was going to fall, but yet in all of that he had made before it even happened, because Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world, he made preparation to draw man back into himself. Not just a few, but all men. Jesus came, and when he was dying on Calvary, said, it is finished. I've done the work I came to do. He said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. His work was over. All God's work was finished before the foundation of the world. And in every hour of history, and we can follow it all along, at God's appointed time, God spoke to a man or to a people. He spoke to Martin Luther at a pivotal time in history. And look at the price that he paid to establish the just shall live by faith. The Wesleyan brothers were not even allowed to preach in churches. They preached in the fields and the cemeteries, declaring what God had given them. All through history, God has had a people. And now it's our time. He brought us to the kingdom at this very hour to be a part of what he is doing in this hour. But the desire in the hearts of all those people was not for a new word. I was thinking last night about Gerald Durstein, who was a Mennonite up in Minnesota, Strawberry, Minnesota, that in the late 50s, the church he was pastoring, they had fasted for a whole year, one or two days a week. And at the end of that year, between Christmas and December, they were fasting and having meetings every day. They were not seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They were seeking God. They were not seeking a new word. They were seeking a relationship. And all of a sudden, in one of the meetings, they heard a thunk and somebody fell to the floor and began to speak in tongues. And they thought, the first thought was, this is not appropriate for the sanctuary. So they dragged them out into the Sunday school room. And it wasn't long before others did the same, coming to the altar and finally began to prophesy what was happening at that time. It wasn't that they were seeking that. They were seeking God. They were seeking that relationship with Him. And all through history, that's what it is. And beloved, in this hour is no more. I know, and I've said, you've heard me say this before, and when God brings my mind, I'll say it again. I still believe that this is a time appointed in our lives that God has called us aside individually to have relationship with Him, to speak to us individually, whatever it may be through, the spoken word, the written word, or whatever. But to build our relationship with God. Because when God manifests His sons in the earth, it's going to be a people who have come into relationship with Him. When He was asked, when John asked, who are these? The 144,000. The angel said, these are they that have followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Didn't matter where He went, they followed the shepherd whithersoever He goeth. And beloved, that is what we are doing in this hour. We are beginning, hallelujah, to come into relationship, to listen to the voice of the Lord, to know when He speaks, and to follow Him. We have left criticism, we have left judgmentalness all behind. We have left sin consciousness behind. We have left the tree of knowledge of good and evil behind. And hallelujah, our eye is becoming single. And our body, hallelujah, is being filled with the light of the glory of God. He is risen within us and causing us to come aside and to see Him and to come in relationship with Him. God doesn't speak in the thunder all the time. He doesn't speak in the magnificent or the eloquent voices all the time. But God within us, in that still, small whisper, brings His Word. And when He brings His Word, we know that it is the Word of God, because He's preparing a people. We're not seeking for that manifestation of the sons of God. We are seeking God. He said, if we seek Him, we shall find Him. Moses said when he saw the burning bush, he said, I will turn aside and see this thing. There was a turning from what he was looking aside to that which he saw. And beloved, in this hour, we're turning aside. We're leaving this realm and looking at this realm that is passion, this realm of flesh and blood that is passing away with the using. And we are beholding Him who is eternal. And looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that has given us a kingdom that shall not vanish away or pass away, but has established us within His Word and within His kingdom to walk in that which He speaks to us. Because when He speaks, there's peace there. When He speaks, there's no confusion there. When He speaks, there's joy there. When He speaks, there's knowing that the Eternal has spoken within us, and that His Word is bringing forth that which He has promised. See, that's one thing he said, that as the rain cometh and goeth by, ascendeth back up, he had accomplished. That his word accomplishes that which he has sent it to accomplish. And beloved, he's going to do it in each one of us. We're going through, everyone is going through things in this hour. Every child of God, I believe, is entering in and going through problems or crisis or whatever in this hour. And when you look at what man says you can speak to everything that is coming against you and it's gone. You know, man promises all these things. Man, if you look at these televangelists, they're begging, they're pleading. You send them so much money and you get back a hundredfold or you're wealthy. Well, my question is, this has been going on for years. Why are they still begging? Because if it works, why don't they take a million of what's been sent to them and give to another pastor and have it a hundredfold increase into them? Or those that say, speak to your healing or to your health, why are they going around sick? You know, just as the king or the emperor with his new clothes, who's going to stop and say, hey, wait a minute, it's not working? But the fact is that the day is coming, hallelujah, when God takes the wraps off of His sons, His predestined manifested sons, that the glory of the Lord shall be seen in as the waters cover the earth. And not there will be no more false, there will be no more speculation, but the word that goes out of their mouth is going to accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. Just as Jesus said, be healed, they were healed. Or arise from the dead, they arose from the death. Or Lazarus come forth. That will happen. But you know, until that day, let us be honest with what God is saying to us. Do I criticize those? No, I don't criticize those people. That's where God has them. But who's going to say, hey, the emperor has no clothes on? You know, who's going to say? But God's grown us a way into a personal relationship with Him. Does that mean that we just get by ourselves? And no. We live life every day. We walk in this realm of humanity every day. But what it does mean is that personally we are coming to know Him, to understand Him, to realize that we are not looking to what man says. Our substance, our food for this spiritual realm does not come from what man says, but we are eaten of the bread of life daily, that we are being changed into the same image that He is. That He is a spirit, that as the heart panteth for the water brook, Lord, so panteth our soul after Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, O Lord, that I may know Him in His fullness. And you see, as I come to know Him, I am being changed into the same image. We have borne the earthly, He says, but we shall bear the heavenly. We have put on and are putting on the divine nature of God. The same that He is. As He is in this world, so are we. You know, those things He tells us that we are now. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. When Jesus was raised up, all enemies were put under His feet. He was victorious over all. And He says, you're seated with me. So no matter what this earth or this realm has to offer us or comes against us, we know that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We overwhelmingly conquer through Christ, because our warfare is not in this natural realm. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. But we have put on the whole armor of God. Now, I remember one time, Stacy, and I know some of you probably remember, were there, when he talked about that scripture of putting on the whole armor of God. That in the Greek, that scripture meant that what they were doing, they put on their dress armor. And they were getting ready to march down the street victorious. They would take their enemy that they had conquered, and in their best armor, their best military outfit, they would parade down the street victorious over their enemies. And that's what that scripture was talking about. That we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I can do all things in Christ. You see, we are spiritual beings. We worship Him in spirit. And God is bringing His people to the place of understanding that this manifestation of the sons of God that is coming to a people that have been prepared to not see what I did, but to be a part of a corporate man standing on this earth, a corporate son. Jesus was a son. He was uniquely begotten. But He says, you're sons of God. Now we are sons of God. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. And you know, the thing of it is that my desire, O Lord, is not just to hear a new word, but to hear Your voice. To know the fullness of who You are. That was the ministry till we all come in the full measure of the statue of Christ Jesus. To the fullness of Christ. That we are come to the fullness of Him. And God is bringing a people into the finished realm of that predestination where He has predestined us to be. He that began the work in us is going to finish it, just as sure as we're here today. And as we gather together unto Him, individually, we are becoming more like Him. We are allowing His words to change us and to bring us into that realm of spirit and into that realm of being like Him. You know, in that realm, as a spirit being, you are perfect in the sight of God. You are perfect in the sight of God. And the only thing that is being changed in this hour is that which is between our two ears. Be ye transformed by the metamorphosed renewing of your mind. God is changing our thinking processing and bringing us into that realm of spirit. And you know, it's as the day that is dawning unto the noonday sun. God's day always starts in night, and the sun begins to arise. And that's the way it is now. We are seeing in understanding His revelation brighter and brighter and brighter until it rises to the noonday position. God's doing it. It's not our work. We've entered into our rest. We realize that the work that He is doing is His work. That we cannot change ourselves, but He can. And He's bringing us into that personal relationship with Him. How awesome and how wonderful He is. Amen.